able to seal him. Here's the pass. Oh, what a catch! Leaping into the air and putting it down is T. Higgins.
Burrow, facing pressure, goes over the top, wide open is Chase, and he splits the defenders for the touchdown.
Hooday, Bengal fans. He is Mon. I am Jake. This is the Bengals Pulse, the heartbeat of our Cincinnati Bengals. Mon, we are going to have a fun show today. A lot of good draft talk, draft prospects, Bengals needs. It is going to be a great show. We have a very special guest that you and I have been looking forward to having on the show for a while now. But we'll get to all that in just a second, Mon. I need to know, buddy, how's your week been?
Good. Very, very busy. Looking forward to the show. Excited about it. Really have wanted Justin to come on for years, and I'm glad he's going to be here. And let's get this fired up. Let's get it going because we're 2 weeks away from free agency and just a few more weeks away from the draft, and let's get this going.
That's crazy, right? It is so crazy we're that close. It's 15 days away from the start of free agency. Before we get into Bengal news and all the draft talk, let's bring him on. This is a guy who you have known for a longer time than I, but again, part of our Bengal group down here in Central Florida. We watch all the Bengal games together and just talk football nonstop. He is our Bengal Pulse draft guru. This guy knows more about college football players and draft prospects than anyone I know. I am so excited to bring him on. Please welcome to the Bengals Pulse for the first time, our buddy, Justin Wells. Justin, come on board. What's up, bud?
Hey, how are you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks, Justin. Thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. I feel like this is going to be like a Sunday at Mon's house. We're just all in separate rooms, talking live, on YouTube.
I don't have any pizza, Domino's pizza with me either, but yeah. Sorry.
Crazy bread too.
I'll be honest with you. I like when Mon goes with the other pizza place, the Domino's. That's when you know it's a big time Sunday. When Mon goes out and gets that classy pizza.
Yeah, gets the Kelsey's.
Yeah, Kelsey's is good stuff.
Kelsey's, yeah.
If you're in this part of Florida, everybody knows Kelsey's. Good food, good food.
Good food. All right, guys. Hey, listen, before we get into this draft talk, let's talk about a little Bengal news. Three moves that happened this week. Three moves I think all three of us as Bengal fans and every Bengal fan out there knew were coming. The first thing the Bengals did was, well, it's not the first thing they did, but let's talk about it first. They extended those tenders for Jake Browning and Cal Adomaitis. Both of those guys will be Bengals in 2024. We knew this move was coming. They were those exclusive right tenders, those guys that the Bengals had those rights to extend those tenders. Guys, real quick, what do you think about Jake Browning and Cal Adomaitis being back on this Bengal roster? Mon, you go first.
I'm glad Browning is going to be back. We knew he was going to be back, and he really surprised me. He delivered. I wasn't a big fan when he first came in. I thought the Bengals could do better at the backup quarterback. I was wrong, glad to be wrong. He did a lot better than I expected. Let's put it that way. We knew he was going to be back. Adomaitis, the Bengals control him for another year or two. So he's going to be our long-term long snapper. He's going to be, he's going to be there for 10 years. Expect it. And I'm glad they did it.
Agreed. Justin, what do you think about Jake Browning and the season he had this year?
Well, definitely was impressed. He was a guy I liked at Washington, great quarterback, didn't really expect him to kind of come on like he did this season with the Bengals, but with Burrow's, you know, injury history in the last few years, it's always important to have a good backup on the bench. And Browning, I think, will be a, you know, good fit to continue in that role.
I agree. Hopefully not a guy that's going to be starting the season. You know, we'll see how this wrist thing goes. Obviously Joe Burrow being seen at, a handful of Bengals at the Lakers Suns game. Joe looked like he still had that wrap on his wrist, high-fiving and shaking hands with his left hand. But that, again, you know, that doesn't mean anything. It is Joe Burrow, and knowing him, he's probably going to be out there throwing next week and ready to go. Let's talk about – before we talk about T, the NFLPA came out with their report card. Again, it's been all over Twitter today. A lot of funny hits there on Twitter, making fun of these different teams. Again, this is where the players vote. I don't know how much of it I believe, but you know, we'll go with it. Thank you, Eric, for throwing that up there for me. So guys, the Bengals overall, let's talk about this real quick. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because again, I don't know how much truth this really holds. It seems like these Bengal players love to be here. They want to be here. There never seems to be an issue with complaining from these guys. But again, this is their chance to, you know, to vote on certain things, and nobody know who it is that is voting on it. So it could be. We'll see. The Bengals come in, treatment of families in F-, the food in the cafeteria in F-, and nutrition and dietitian an F- for the Bengals. Locker room a D+, but we all heard this past week the Bengals are getting a new locker room to go with their new field turf. So they are doing a lot more to the inside of the players' area in the locker room. You see the training room, training staff, and weight room all get B+. So you can see really where the Bengals have honed in on really focusing, which to me is much more important than the food in the cafeteria. I'd rather there be a good training room, training staff, and a weight room. Strength coaches gets an A-. The team travel gets a C. Head coach, we all know the Bengal players love Zach Taylor. He gets an A. And coming in with a C+, a solid C+, for a guy like myself who was a solid C+ all through high school, this is a great grade for Mike Brown, I think. Overall, Mon, though, what do you think about these grades? Just really quick, again, we don't spend a lot of time on this. But what are your thoughts the first thing you when you saw this?
Yeah, I agree. C+ was my transcript, too, in high school. the low marks are easily fixable. They really are. And yeah. I don't want to bang on the Bengals, but how can you not have a nutritionist? I think that blew me away. This is 2024. I mean, you don't get the cook, the guy that's cooking on Vine and 4th Street at Skyline to be your nutritionist. I mean, you have to go out and get somebody that's educated that, you know, it's a billion-dollar organization. They need to do that. I think it's easily fixable, and they will. The locker room is being remodeled as we speak. All the other marks are pretty good, actually. They really are, and that's a good look for the Bengals. But, you know, all those Fs are easily fixable, and hopefully they work on that and get that done.
What do you think, Justin? Any takes on this?
Well, you know, I think it's kind of interesting because, you know, a lot of these guys have maybe only played for one or two teams. So how do you really compare these grades when these guys only have exposure to, you know, one or two organizations, maybe three? So, you know, it's interesting. It makes for some lighthearted banter. But Jake, I agree with you in that I'm not sure how much you can really read into these grades.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, it's anonymous, so I don't know. It's funny to me, though, because the Steelers and the Chiefs come in. The Chiefs owner got an F-. Not the Chiefs owner. Wait. Yes, the Chiefs owner.
Yeah, the Chiefs ownership group did, yeah.
Yeah, the Chiefs ownership group gets an F-, the lowest grade, and they won two straight Super Bowls. Again, somebody was hitting me. One of my – well, you guys know Omesh – my buddy Omesh, he was hitting me up trying to crack on the Bengals, get an F. I said, he's a Bears fan too. Let me make sure that's clear. I said, Omesh, I'd rather have a winning team than a team that gets an A plus on their ownership. Like, I really care about that. Again, I don't think you can really put too much into these grades. It is good banter though, Justin.
For the Chiefs ownership, they're probably just downgrading it because Gracie Hunt doesn't own the team yet. So once she gets it, grade will go up.
Yeah, you know what? That's good. It's a lot of agent talk too. I'm sure the agents are getting in there and trying to get little pot shots in. So,
Listen, before her, it might be Taylor Swift. We could get a Taylor Swift ownership group in Kansas City.
Yeah.
But to my buddy Omesh, just worry about the Bears draft. Don't worry about the Bengals grades on their locker room and the cafeteria. You got much bigger fish to fry, Omesh, with your Chicago Bears and worrying about the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, let's get to T. Higgins and talk a little T talk, guys. We knew he was going to get franchise tag. Everybody on this planet that watches football knew he was going to get tagged. Obviously, a lot of talk about a tag and trade. I have stood on my soapbox and said, I don't think that's going to happen. As a matter of fact, I still think T. Higgins is going to get extended. I think he's going to be a Bengal past 2024. That's just my take on it. But, Mon, I'm going to start with you. T. Higgins getting tagged. Let's talk a little bit about this situation. Again, you and I have gone back and forth on this about the tag and trade, and I know how you feel about – you don't want to see T. go, but you also want to make sure this is not another just name a list of players that the Bengals have not gotten anything for and let walk like a Jesse Bates. Ma, what's your thought on this T. Higgins franchise tag does it loom large for the Bengals coming up here in free agency?
I know we've talked about it a lot the last few weeks. And like you just said, I don't want him to leave. But if they exhaust all options, I mean, I think they have to consider it. I hope that doesn't come to that. I hope they find a solution and signs a long-term deal. But I just didn't like when he was officially tagged how Bengals Twitter sort of flipped on him a little bit. He became an average wide receiver all of a sudden. You know, he only played 65% of the snaps and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. They're trying to diminish his role on the team. I didn't like that. I'm going to say this. For the crew out there that wants him traded, you better have a replacement in mind.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about the last 10, 15, 20 years of the Bengals. Let's take Kevin Zeitler, for example. I know Kevin Zeitler wanted to be the highest paid guard in football. He wasn't going to get that in Cincinnati. But look what happened after he left. It took them 5 years to find a guard that's okay. They had John Miller. They had Trey Hopkins. They had Redmond play 2 years. I mean, it was a revolving door, and the Bengals had a horrible stretch of football then. It wasn't all Kevin Zeitler, but that offensive line was terrible. They didn't have an adequate replacement for him. So if you really consider trading T. Higgins, better have a plan in place.
Justin, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's an interesting situation. I get where you're coming from, Mon, but definitely I think the lack of snaps, which I know Paul Daner wrote about in his pieces on the T. Higgins situation. I think it's a valid concern. If you're going to give the guy $20+ million a year, you got to be able to know that he's going to be on the field. And I think clearly that when you have Joe Burrow, when you have Ja'Marr Chase, when you have T. Higgins, you have an extremely dangerous offense, but you got to get all three of them out there and together playing together. And it's a tough one. I think, you know, a lot of it just depends on where are the negotiations going, and Duke Tobin and that front office are going to have to listen to some teams and see what they can get. And if the right deal presents itself and you're not going to get an extension done, you really have to think about making that move.
Well, Zim, you know, our buddy Zim talked about and brings up a good point is, you know, this maybe not being the year to do that, maybe tag them, let them play. And then you know, tagging him again next year and then seeing what you might get, maybe a little bit more. You might get a little bit more for him next year. I don't know what the best way to do it is. All I know is my thoughts are very, very simple. Give me a top 10 wide receiver that I know is elite in this league compared to an unknown coming out of the draft. Again, I know it's sexy to get, you know, these first round picks and second round picks, but you still have to go out and pick the right guy, right? I mean, you still have to go out and pick the right guy that is going to come out and play. And again, Mon, I think you made a very good point. You know, the Bengals have got to be very careful because we saw this when they let Sanu walk, right? That year in 2000, what year was that? 2015, right? 2015, yeah. when they let that group of receivers walk, they struggled replacing those guys. Before T. Higgins came around.
Well, they had Brandon LaFell came in. He played well, but it wasn't quite, you know, spectacular. But it took Tyler Boyd a couple years to become a respectable player. I will say this, the Paul Daner article, Justin, you're right, valid points. But my fear is this, to back up what Paul Daner said, if he signs this 1 year, if he's here for 1 year on that $20 million tender, what's going to happen, though? Is it going to be in the back of his mind, kind of get a catastrophic injury? You know, that's what scares me also. You know, he had a lot of key drops this year. I'm not trying to bang on T, but he did. Maybe he was distracted a little bit. Again, my number one wish is to get him signed long term. Hopefully they can do that. But I do have some concerns about this 1 year. I really do, because some things popped up last year. Was that on his mind? Hopefully we don't have a repeat of it.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that because if you sign him to a franchise deal and he gets a little banged up, say pulls a hammy, well, what's going to happen? I mean, is he going to try to fight through it, play through it, or is he going to baby it a little bit and focus more on not suffering any sort of long-term injury that could potentially hurt his market value? So I think that Daner brought that up too. So,
And again, a lot
in the mix there.
Those are very valid points for sure. I just know that when the Bengals let Sanu and Marvin Jones walk, there was a drastic drop off until T. Higgins came around. Again, Mon, you talked about Tyler Boyd. He had to kind of come into his own. But again, that scares me when you have this Super Bowl window that the Bengals have right now, is letting a guy like T walk. I just don't see it happening. I think this situation gets done. I think he's going to get extended. But let me ask you this. This is going to lead us into let's start with this scenario for draft and the draft prospects coming up. Let's say already we know the Bengals are going to have to go out and probably draft a wide receiver sometime in this draft. Tyler Boyd is not coming back. The T. Higgins situation, again, being very volatile. I would use that word loosely, but very volatile right now. Let me ask you, Justin, let's talk about some possible replacements. Right now, let's just talk about Tyler Boyd right now. Some possible replacements for Tyler Boyd, maybe some sleepers that nobody out there is really talking about. What are some of the receivers you like in this upcoming draft that maybe fit the Bengals?
Well, I guess at sleeper, some of these guys might qualify as that, some might not. But I'm a Florida Gator fan, so I'm a big SEC guy. So I'm gonna focus on the SEC for this question. And there's three guys I do really like. And the first one is a Florida Gator, as Ricky Pearsall. He is a 6 foot, 195 pound receiver, had almost 1,000 yards receiving for the Gators this year. Really should have. It's unfortunate he didn't hit that mark. Actually interesting, because I don't think the Gators have had a receiver hit that mark now in almost 20 years, which is
unbelievable.
I think when you consider what they did in the 90s. So I'm pretty sure it's Taylor Jacobs, and actually it might be more than 20 years now, to be honest. It might've been 2002. But yeah, so Ricky Pearsall, and he's a really interesting player, really talented player. I think he's going to get a lot of comparisons because he's a white receiver to guys like Cooper Kupp. But I think he's a much different player. He's got really nice, route running skills. He's very quick. He had a play against UAB last year where he made this really nice catch over the middle that I think made a lot of the Sports Center top 10 highlights and all that. But yeah, he's just a really nice all around receiver. I think he's a really good fit in the slot, but he has the type of speed that would allow him to play on the outside. He's just a really nice all-around player, and you're starting to see him kind of rise up the boards. He had a good week out at Mobile at the Senior Bowl, and I think he's starting to work his way into a potential top 50 spot, but he could certainly be there toward the end of round two, maybe even round three, and definitely when you're talking about Tyler Boyd replacements, he would be at the top of my list. Two other guys I like.
Let me ask you real quick, Justin.
We
were mentioning Tyler Boyd. Any current NFL player comp? I mean, you're not comparing him to Tyler Boyd. They're separate players. They're not the same type of player.
Right.
Right.
Oh, for Pearsall?
Yeah. Is there a current NFL comp that you have for him?
Okay, so this is going to date me a little bit, but a guy he really reminds me of is Ricky Prohl. So,
that's good. That's really good.
Yeah. Hey, that's the guy that comes to mind when I watch him. Yeah. So just a versatile player. I think he can kind of fit in any wide receiver spot, even though I think he'll start off in the slot, and he has good size. Like I said, 6'1", 195. He's not your typical slot receiver, but he also doesn't have, you know, he has some speed too. So I think he can give you a bit of a vertical threat on the outside. So the two other guys I really like, a guy who I definitely think qualifies as a sleeper is Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. And he's an interesting player, kind of is sort of in that mold of like Stetson Bennett. Like, where does Georgia already gets all the five-star recruits. Where do they find these three-star guys and the walk-ons that seem to come out of nowhere as well? He's another guy, really quick, slippery, has sort of a deceptive speed, always seems to get behind the defense and get open and make plays. And even with a really loaded roster with guys like Brock Bowers alongside him in the passing game, he was just a really nice player for them during their championship runs. And also he battled some injuries this year, so his production was down a little bit, which might drop him a little bit on some boards, but he's another nice player who fits well in the slot. And then the last guy I'm going to mention is Anais Smith out of Texas A&M, who is a really versatile player, mostly a receiver, but also has some strong return game ability and ran the ball some in terms of jet sweeps and getting the ball out of the backfield. So really nice option in terms of his ability to be a run threat, receiving threat, and return threat. Which is always nice to have that sort of versatility in the backfield. Another bigger guy, about 5'11", 200 in terms of the slot position, not like some of these smaller slot guys you're starting to see these days.
Justin, you know, you mentioned you're a big SEC guy. What about the South Carolina wide receiver, Xavier Leggett? I'm hearing he's going to, at the combine, he's going to be a lot shorter than what they had him listed in South Carolina. Give us your take on him.
Yeah, well, he's a big-time, big-play threat. Bigger guy. I think he's like 225. He's a more of your outside receiver. Probably, I don't want to say he's on the same level, but sort of in that A.J. Brown mold in terms of being sort of almost built like a running back, the playing receiver. He had a huge season too. And South Carolina was a very inconsistent team. So they kind of, it seemed like he was another guy who I felt like battled some injuries this year, and they sort of went as he did. And when they had him healthy and in the lineup, they were much more formidable, much more dangerous in terms of the vertical passing game. So, he's another nice option. And there's a lot of this is one of those years where you have a really strong group at the top in terms of receivers. You know, obviously Marvin Harrison, everyone knows about him. The two LSU guys, Neighbors and Thomas, and then Keon Coleman out of Florida State, who really, I think when you're talking about an NFL comparison, he really would remind, I think, a lot of people of a slightly bigger T, just wow. a little heavier. I think he's probably about 5-10 pounds heavier coming out of college than T was. So a little bulkier, but again, kind of that same long, angular player who makes big plays down the field, always seems to win those jump balls, those 50-50 jump balls, and embarrassed a lot of defensive backs this year.
One other question. I know we spent a lot of time on wide receivers. We talked about this earlier in the year, and people banged
this
on.
This is good because Jake is enjoying this conversation.
That's right.
I'm loving it.
We're going to draft 9 wide receivers.
Listen, guys, real quick about that. Let me just say this. You make fun of me about that every year, but you know, what is the one position the Bengals probably draft better than anybody else?
Not John Ross, but they're definitely up there
when it comes to drafting wide receivers. The Bengals have hit a lot.
Jake, you're right. The Bengals have, not Jake Owens. Okay. The Bengals
have. Listen, Cody Core.
You win. That's good.
I told you not to go at me, Mon. I will bring up Cody Core. Go ahead.
Justin,
go ahead,
Mon. There's another FSU wide receiver I love. To me, he's an odd and Tate with speed. He can't catch the ball very well. Huh. Tell us about Johnny Wilson.
Yeah, no, that's Wilson's a really intriguing guy because you're talking about a receiver who's 6'6 and change, pushing 6'7, is probably going to run a really nice time. I'd be surprised if he doesn't lay down, you know, a high 4.4s, maybe low 4.5s. I think where he struggles, and you saw some of that in the Senior Bowl, is the route running's a little unrefined, his change of direction. He's really a straight line guy, and he has that ability to get vertical, to make big plays down the field in terms of, again, you're talking 6'6", guy has a huge wingspan. He's going to win a lot of those jump balls, those 50-50 balls where he's battling with smaller defensive backs. But there is some concern about the rest of his game and if he's going to be able to refine it. And the drops were a serious issue for him. So if he goes somewhere where I think there is some good development at the position, maybe you turn him into one of these kind of flex tight ends where he's a tight end, but he's really, you know, just a big receiver out there. But you're putting him in positions to take advantage of his skill set. I think he'll be a nice pickup for someone, but he's a guy where originally I think they were talking about him second, third round. I wouldn't be surprised if he's one that drops down the board a little bit.
Gotcha. I was just enamored by his size and speed. Good, Jake.
And I would think too, guys. I mean, the Bengals, although I don't know, Mr. Drummond brought up a really good point. Duke Tobin, he was a little bit different when he spoke to the media. He wasn't, it did have kind of a Jesse Bates tone to it about T. Higgins. But again, I just don't see T moving. The only way the Bengals go early with the wide receiver is if they trade T, right? I mean, there's no way that we are going to see the Bengals go first or second round with a wide receiver. Your thoughts on that, Justin? Unless T does get traded, and Mr. Drummond's right that Duke is approaching this a little bit differently. What are your thoughts? I mean, what's the earliest, I guess, you could see the Bengals maybe going wide receiver in this draft?
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of it's going to depend on T. If you move him before the draft, then you could be looking at 18 drafting a receiver just because there could be some really good options there. But I'm with you, and I hope it gets resolved and that T signs a really nice extension, because there's other fish to fry and there's other positions that really need to be addressed. But yeah, I mean, it would take moving T before the draft to really look at the first round as an option for a receiver. Otherwise, I think you're waiting until at least the third round, probably.
Yeah, I agree. Mom, what are your thoughts about that?
No, I mean, I think that's a valid point. I mean, I think we could sort of transition. I mean, does it have to be a wide receiver? We spoke about a lot of them. We've talked off camera or before we started recording or going live here. I have a fear in this draft. I'm not a Brock Bowers guy. Bengals Twitter is. I think you are, Jake. Justin, what do you think about him in the Bengals offense? What do you think of him as a player? Comp him for us if you can.
So, I'm sure some people will get some chuckles out of this, but when I watched Brock Bowers at Georgia, it reminded me a lot of watching Aaron Hernandez at the University of Florida. And I know
the football player.
I know, we don't have to rehash all the stuff that happened off the field, but between the white lines, Aaron Hernandez was a really, really special football player. And I think sometimes people forget that. And, he was sort of kind of, he was kind of an unusual weapon in that he was kind of weirdly built for the tight end position. I think when he was at the combine, he was like 6'1¾", like 240, 245 pounds, which a lot of people think Bowers is going to be in that vicinity. He's going to measure a little shorter, maybe 6'2" and change, 235, 240. But he's really fast. I mean, I think he's going to lay down a really nice 40 time. He's great with the ball in his hands. Georgia would hand the ball off to him, which Florida did with Hernandez. And then he did, Belichick did some with him with the Patriots. Florida loved to do the shovel pass from Tebow to Hernandez, which is, even though it's technically a pass, it's really nothing more than a handoff. And Hernandez was really effective in those situations. And Bowers will be too. I don't, obviously, he has some limitations in terms of size. I don't maybe see him as a perennial 5-time all pro or anything like that. But I think the good thing about Bowers is you have a really high floor with him. If I'm the GM and he's there at 18, I'm making that pick right away, even though there are bigger needs. I mean, I personally feel like you got to look offensive line and defensive line there. But if Bowers is there at 18, I'd be jumping. I would not be walking. I'd be running that card to the podium to make that pick.
Yes. Yes. and I will be sitting next to Mon with a big smile on my face, laughing and loving every minute of Mon.
and let me just say, I hate the University of Georgia. If the city of Athens burned down to the ground today, I'd be dancing in the streets. But
we have fans in Georgia.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, then deal with it. But
Gator fans, good Lord.
But I mean, look, he's a special. Hey, I may not like him, but I respect what Kirby Smart's done, and they've assembled an incredible amount of talent there. And Bowers is one example. I mean, they picked the guy out of, like, I think he's from Napa, California. A guy should be like working at a winery or something. Looks like he probably should be working at a winery. Should be wearing an apron, but instead he's catching footballs and doing a really good job at it. He's an impressive football player.
Well, let me ask you this, Justin, because obviously the focus right now for this Bengals team has got to be the trenches, right? Offensive line, defensive line. That's really where the focus should be. So let's talk about defensive line first. Mon and I's last mock draft, two of our first three picks were defensive linemen, defensive tackles, to be exact, guys that maybe can fix the interior pass rush that the Bengals have lacked since Geno Atkins, right? So let's talk a little bit about the defensive tackles in this draft. Guys that you like that fit this Bengals scheme and that I hope can come in right away and help produce effectively and play a lot of snaps for this Bengals defense. So tell us some defensive tackles, Justin, that you really like in this draft that hopefully will be in stripes here in a couple months.
Well, I think the thing I really like about this group of defensive tackles, it's a fairly deep group. There's not anyone that's like jumping out as like a Quinnen Williams, top five type guy necessarily, but it's still a deep group, and there's a lot of different body types in that mix. You've got some of the bigger space eaters. You've got some of these smaller guys who are more in the mold of, you know, like a, I'm not saying they're on this level, but those Aaron Donalds, you know, they're not huge, but they have the ability to affect the pass rush. And so at the top, of course, you got Byron Murphy from Texas, and he had an incredible year. And he's only like 6'1", 305, but he's going to make a lot of plays on the inside. He's going to be that type of pass rusher that Cincinnati needs. He's a guy who could potentially be there at 18, and, you know, that would be a strong candidate in the first round. When you drop down a little bit, a guy that I really liked, I don't watch a ton of Big Ten football, but Johnny Newton at Illinois, who I believe is a Florida guy, he was just wrecking house and really made Illinois a better football team. And, you know, another guy, not real, you're not talking about, you know, these 6'5", 320 pound guys. He's 6'2", 290. So again, a little smaller, but usually with those interior pass rushers who make plays, you know, sometimes you have to sacrifice a little on the size. You have to go with a smaller player. So yeah, Johnny Newton was another one that I was a big fan of his game and what he did at Illinois this year. And I know one guy that Mon really likes that I'm going to have to mention, who I'll give all the credit in the world, played really well this year for the in-state rival Florida State Seminoles, was Braden Fisk, who was a transfer. Came in, played as a grad transfer, right? He's going to be an interesting one, I think, with the combine this week. Like, how big is he exactly? Because he's listed at 6'5", 305. And, you know, is that how big he is, or is he 6'3", 290? Either way, I think you're talking about a guy who, if he's there in the fourth round, can be a really nice player. Guy he kind of reminds me of is Derek Wolfe. So,
I read some snippets. I mean, I guess some people think he's rising, but I think they expect him to come in under 300 pounds. So that's going to be interesting also. Speaking of weight, what about Byron Murphy's teammate, Sweat? I'm hearing he could be almost 400 pounds right now. And really? That's a big boy.
Yeah, he didn't weigh in at the Senior Bowl, I believe, right?
Yeah, he's like 370 plus, could be pushing 400. I'm trying to find a guy that's going to be the next Reader. And when I see somebody of that size, but I mean, I think at that weight.
That's, to me, he's too heavy. I mean, that I have some concerns there. I mean, he's already that big. He was the one that kind of got most of the attention for the Texas D-line this year. You know, that's definitely one will be, I think the two people that everyone's most interested to see weigh in this week are Tavondre Sweat from Texas and then Jaden Daniels from LSU, but for vastly different reasons. Another guy I want to mention real quick, who kind of fits that bigger run stuffing mold, who had a weird career at LSU, dealt with suspension and injury, is Mason Smith. Was a huge prospect coming out of high school. Didn't entirely live up to the billing at LSU, again, for those reasons, but very, very talented football player, would definitely be worth a flyer if he's sitting there in the fourth or fifth round. That's a guy that I'm definitely looking at as well.
Interesting. So let's move outside, Justin, because we did see that the Bengals have already met with quite a few edge rushers at the combine today and a little bit yesterday. So let's talk about let's talk about some of these edge rushers, some of the guys the Bengals met with already, some of the top guys the Bengals are meeting with right now. What do you think about this group of edge rushers? And another tag on that question is I'm interested to think to hear what you think about our guy that we took in the first round last year, Miles Murphy, and what where he stacks up against this crop of edge rushers. Go ahead and talk about the Miles Murphy thing first, and then let's hear about some of your edge rushing prospects that might be there when the Bengals pick at 18.
Well, it would have depended, of course, because Murphy came out early. So if he had come back to Clemson for another year, where would he have fallen? Then it's a good question. I think potentially he would have been the first or second name in this group. Right now, Dallas Turner's the one drawing the most buzz at Alabama. Very intriguing player. He came, was a very highly regarded coming out of high school. He's a St. Thomas Aquinas product out of Fort Lauderdale. All the Florida schools wanted him. Alabama got him. He had a really nice freshman season as a kind of a spot player, as a sort of third down specialist. He regressed as a sophomore, but had a really nice junior season with 9 sacks. He's the top guy. I mean, he's the one that is sort of fits that mold of the pass rushers we've seen lately. Certainly, we'll draw comparisons to Will Anderson, although I don't think he plays the run quite as well as Anderson did at Alabama or did this year for the Texans. Yeah. So you look at this group, Latu at UCLA, and then the other one that's Jared Verse at Florida State was a really nice player. And Verse is a was kind of an interesting one this year in that he seemed to kind of bulk up. I thought he put on a lot of weight, and he didn't necessarily look bad, but he just seemed less athletic this year. It seemed like he went from about 250 to about 265 and just seemed to lose a step. Now he still had a very good year, and he's still going to be a first round pick, but he's one I'll be interested to see where he weighs in, what he does in the combine, your 40, your vertical, all that stuff. See how athletic he proves to be. But once you get past those three, you see a real drop off in the edge position. That's definitely, I think overall, this feels like a really good draft, but the edge position is not particularly impressive. But there is one guy I will say I like, who is down the board a little bit, and that's Jonah Ellis out of Utah. He had a really nice game against the Gators at the beginning of the season. He's the son of Luther Ellis, who was a longtime NFL player. He's a little undersized. He's like 6'2", 240, but really nice pass rusher, certainly in sort of a specialist role. I think he'd be a really good fit for an NFL team. And you're seeing NFL teams start to, I think you're starting to see them not worry so much about size when you're talking about a guy who has a skill set that lends itself to being a good pass rusher. They will build packages for those guys and keep one or two of them on the roster, even though they don't really fit a prototype position wise.
So, and Miles Murphy, let's go back on him real quick. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously he started off rough. I don't know how else to say it nicely, but he started off rough this year and progressively obviously got better. The more snaps he got, he ended up with three sacks on the season, yep. But a lot of quarterback pressures from him that we saw those last 7 games. Miles Murphy, again, in this draft, do you think he would be pretty high?
Yeah, I mean, I think he, you know, I obviously some of it would have depended on, because he did have a year of eligibility. What if he would come back to Clemson? What would he have done? But I think when you look at what his profile was last year compared to this year, I think he'd be no worse than the number two edge rusher in this draft. When you look at his frame, his athletic ability, like you said, he came on in the second half of the year, didn't have a huge sack number, but seemed to get a lot more pressure on the quarterback. I really hope he can develop into a Carlos Dunlap type player. And, you know, that would be, that's obviously best case scenario here. But when you look at his skill set, what he does well, he's only 21 years old. I don't think that's totally unreasonable to think that he has that type of ability. I'm certainly not predicting he finishes his career with 100 sacks or anything, but he does have that type of look, that type of skill set, and hopefully he continues to improve and sort of pull that, move in that direction.
Well, yeah, you know, I agree. No, I agree. I think he turned it on. He played a lot better the second half of the season, and I'm looking forward to see him continue to develop. Go ahead, Jake.
I was just going to say, you know, we're about to talk about the offensive line here in a minute, but again, guys, I think we can all agree that this is what scares me, is that the Bengals' needs right now are the trenches on both sides of the ball, and the Bengals have not done well drafting the trenches. Again, you look at the defensive line, you had Carlos Dunlap, you had Geno Atkins. Those were two great picks. Geno in the fourth, and I think Carlos in the second, right? Two great picks by the Bengals. They ended up panning out and being two of the top sack leaders in Bengals history. I think you could say Sam Hubbard was a good pick. He's been a solid player. Besides that, guys, the Bengals have struck out when it comes to defensive linemen, and it makes me nervous that Miles Murphy – I'm not just talking about Miles Murphy. I'm talking about as a whole – right now, we know that the Bengals need to get pass rushers, and they struggle. I don't know if it's just picking the wrong guy or not developing guys, but I'm very nervous. I know they met with Verse. They like Verse a lot. But some of these guys, I don't know. And I'm going to be a little upset if I see one of those pass rushers go in the first round by the Bengals again.
Yeah. All right.
I don't think it was always that way. I think the Bengals, you know, we've talked about in the past, Jake, how the Bengals would come at you in waves. You know, when Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap got a breather, you know, Fanene would come in. Other players would come in. Frosty Rucker would come in. And, you know, those backups were getting 5, 6, 7, 8 sacks a year. We just don't have that now. We don't have – I think the problem on our defensive line is depth issues. It's horrible because when Hendrickson got off – Hubbard and B.J. Hill, the guys that came in just really struggled. And Hendrickson played too many snaps. So did Hubbard. So we need quality depth that can come in and give these guys good breathers and, you know, and still produce while the stars are on the sideline. But I hear you. I mean, we spent a first-round pick last year on a defensive lineman. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we do that again, or it could be a cornerback. I know we're not really scheduled to talk about cornerbacks, but I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. We'll see.
So the issue I see on the D-line right now for the Bengals, there's too many complementary players. They need more dogs.
Yeah,
that's it. They need guys who can make plays. They need to be able to lean on some of those guys. And that's where they need to get to, whether it's free agency or the draft. That's what they need to find. And yes, to your point, Mon, corner is definitely a need. I mean, there's not really a position group outside a quarterback where you can say, hey, the Bengals, they need to add someone here. They need to add someone running back. You know, what about Joe Mixon? Where do they go after him, whether that be this year, next year, whenever?
That's a two-hour show.
Wide receiver, yeah. Tight end, offensive line, defensive line. I would even argue they need a linebacker. That's a position they need to address as well.
I agree. I'll definitely agree with Kenyatta, too. Kenyatta says the Bengals need to address that in free agency. And hopefully that's what the Bengals do, Kenyatta, is that they go after and fix the trenches in free agency, because that's where the Bengals have really hit home runs. DJ Reader, BJ Hill, Trey Hendrickson, all free agents, all home runs, offensive line, the entire offensive line besides Bolson have all been free agents. So, Jonah Williams, but he's gone now. But the majority of those guys that have been home runs have been from free agents. And Ronald says Jared Verse, a Dayton, Ohio guy. There could be a connection there with the Bengals, Ohio connection with Jared Verse. Before we got here, Justin, obviously the trenches include offensive line. And what we are looking at right now is Jonah Williams' departure, more than likely, the right tackle position. We've seen a lot of stuff being thrown out there. The Bengals are going to hit that in free agency. But if they decide to go offensive line in round one or round two, who do you like that fits the Bengals' offense? I know Mon likes Fuaga. We picked him with our 18th overall pick in our mock draft last week. Justin, who do you like maybe as a replacement at right tackle?
Yeah, I mean, Fuaga's great. Man, that Oregon State offensive line was really impressive the last couple of years. Jonathan Smith did a great job out there, really got some guys who could push people around. Other top guys, you know, you got it's a really nice year at tackle. Joe Alt from Notre Dame, J.C. Latham from Alabama, Marius Mims from Georgia, who all three of those guys are kind of your prototype in terms of the offensive tackle position. Have a feeling the Bengals really probably won't be in the mix for many of those top guys, but it is a deep year. And one name I'm going to throw out there who I really liked was Graham Barton at Duke. He was a really, really nice player for the Blue Devils this year. He was hurt in the middle of the season. I know they really missed his presence, especially against FSU. And he is a versatile guy too, has the ability to play inside and out, but, that would be a really, I think, a really nice option for the Bengals at right tackle and someone who could step in at another position as well. So, but in terms of the right offensive tackle position, this is a deep year. Whether they go there round one or later, there's going to be a lot of really good options, and I think they'll find somebody.
Justin, you mentioned Mims. I think he's only started 8 games in his career, but he is a freak athletically. And he's starting to rise. A lot of people are really talking highly of him. I wouldn't be surprised if he was the pick. Another player that I'm really intrigued about, he's not a tackle, though. It's the center from Oregon, Powers Johnson. What do you think? Do you think that the Bengals went center at 18? I mean, it would be their 5th center drafted in the first round in franchise history.
Yeah, I know. He had a great year. And he had a really nice year for Oregon. And, I mean – obviously, they had a phenomenal season. He would be a nice option. And another interior guy I'm a big fan of is the the guard from Kansas State. I think Beebe. I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Cooper Beebe.
Yeah. He's a really, man, just talking about road graders. I mean, guys who are almost built like a circle. They're, you know, dancing bears.
Advanced genetics like me. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. They do 15 push-ups at a time. And
I'm up to 16, so man. Look at this, dude. Come on. Hey,
freaking genetic freak, man. BB was, I watched him in the bowl game and, well, there was the Pop-Tart Bowl, which was – that was a whole thing too. But
that was disturbing. That was so disturbing. Yeah. That was in Orlando, wasn't it?
Yeah. I just loved how he was the – arguably the best offensive lineman in Kansas State history in terms of his accolades and what have you. And well, maybe not best, but certainly one of the great ones. And ended up playing in a bowl game. You see so many guys sitting out these games. And he went out there and just kicked – really kicked some tail and had a nice game to close out his career. And to me, that's the type of attitude you want up front, are those types of guys. And if they went that well, 18 might be a little high for BB, but if they had an opportunity to move up in the second round a few spots and grab him, that's one spot. Even though I don't think they're really looking at guard necessarily, would not bother me if they went that direction.
Gotcha. Well, Justin, you said it. Mr. Drummond just said it. We need dogs, right, guys? I mean, the Bengals have occasionally grabbed one here and there, but a couple of these teams like the Rams. I'll use the Rams, for instance, this year, and even the Texans this year. They went out and they got dudes, right? They got guys that could compete right away, and not only compete, but really carry their teams for some moments of the season. And the Bengals just really haven't done that in their drafts. I mean, obviously, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. I mean, Logan Wilson. There's a couple here and there. But this draft is so important, I think, for this Bengals roster that they got a hit on a handful of picks with some guys that are just, the word Mon likes, dogs, right?
Yeah. I was thinking – when you guys said dogs, I just think of my brother Marvin. You know, he would always preach about the defense. He goes, man, he goes, the Bengals defense, they need a punk. They need somebody that's mean.
They need a Vontaze Burfict, right?
Yeah,
he goes, Vontaze Burfict. That's what the Bengals need, a guy that people fear, like Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah. Well, that was too many penalties for me, but I get what you're saying. He was an enforcer, and I wish we had somebody like that. I would take a 15-yarder every once in a while.
Of course.
But, he was definitely an enforcer. I wish we could get somebody like that.
Before we get out of here, Justin, go ahead.
Speaking about the Rams, they got Kobe Turner last year in the third round. What a great find. I mean, not someone who had a ton of buzz going into the draft, but the Rams recognized something there, you know. Guy again, another guy who's 6'2", 285, 290, saw something there, picked him, and he was arguably one of the two or three best defensive rookies this year. The Bengals, I agree. They've got to find a guy like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And our first, second, and third round picks, they got to be contributors this year and contribute a lot.
Agreed.
We said it a million times. This is probably the biggest off season in franchise history. Really is.
It is. It is.
No doubt. Especially with the T situation and everything else going on. You got Reader sitting out there. What's going to happen with Reader? I use that word twice now. It's kind of volatile. Like, I really feel like the pressure is on this Bengals front office. I love it. Cornell says, we need a boogeyman. That's even better than dog. We need a boogeyman, right? We need somebody that people are going to be looking under their bed at night, making sure they're not underneath there. Hey, listen, real quick, before we got here, Justin, really quick, you have the 18th overall pick for the Bengals. Duke says, Justin Wells, you're making the pick right now for the Bengals. We don't know who's sitting there. Try to be realistic. Who are you going with, Justin?
Don't do it.
Oh.
Don't do it.
All right. So I'm probably gonna go. All right. So what happens with T? What are we saying? Is T signed or is he gone?
T signs. He signs an extension.
Okay. Then if I would say Marius Mims.
Nice. I like that. I like that. You didn't say BB.
I stayed at the same school, but I didn't say the word that was going to make you cry, Mon.
Yeah. 72 hours. No ice cream for you next year. All right.
All right, guys. Justin, thank you so much for coming on, dude. Where can people follow you on Twitter? And, again, we're going to have you back on this show. We got a lot of draft stuff to talk about these next 2 months, but where can people find you right now on Twitter, Justin?
Oh, I'm at Justin L. Wells. I don't tweet a lot these days, but maybe I'll start doing a little more of that.
All right. We are bringing Justin back to the Twitter.
Bring me back. That's right.
All right.
All right, guys. Hey, that's another edition of the Bengals Pulse. If you like this podcast, make sure you like, share, and subscribe to this podcast. Make sure you check us out on all the podcast platforms, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify. If you like this podcast, make sure you give us that 5-star review. We very much appreciate that. Follow Mon on Twitter at TheFireMon. Follow me on Twitter at CoachJakeOwens9. Follow Eric on Twitter at eFlash with 2 H's 88. Follow the Cincinnati Podcast Network on Twitter at Cincinnati Pod. And as always, follow the Bengals Pulse on Twitter at Bengals_Pulse9. The same on Instagram without the app, Bengals_Pulse9. and follow Justin on Twitter at Justin L. Wells. Once again, Justin, thank you very much for coming on. Mon, next week, are we doing another mock next week? Is it time?
Yeah, let's do it. Absolutely.
Another mock next week. Are we going to go against each other? Are we going to do the same one this time?
Let's do the same one. We'll get everybody's input.
Same mock. We got another mock coming up next week, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. Again, we are so appreciative of all of our listeners. I don't know if you saw him on. Aaron is back. He is back out of hiding with his Baltimore Ravens collapsing and Lamar choking and just the Ravens just complete destruction. And now it's over, Ravens. Your time is over because Joe is back, baby. All right, guys, that is another edition of the Bengals Pulse. He is mine. I am Jake. That is Justin. Hootay, Bengal fans. We will see you next week.